Hundreds of demonstrators were in the streets of the capital of Myanmar yesterday. That, of course, is the country that many people still refer to as Burma, the old name, because the new name was given by a dictatorship. The protesters say they're against the government's decision to extend the detention of opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi. The Nobel Prize winner has been in detention or under house arrest for 11 of the past 17 years, and her latest one-year detention order was renewed over the weekend by the country's military leaders. Here's NPR Southeast Asia correspondent Michael Sullivan.
Aung San Suu Kyi is 62 years old and now entering her fifth straight year of detention. She is held virtually incommunicado in her lakeside home in the capital, allowed to see almost no one except her doctor and the occasional UN envoy. And yet Myanmar's military leaders still fear her.
Definitely. The extension itself is a clear indication that the junta is the military leaders and Dan Shui himself is so afraid of her. It's not just only fear, again, also hatred.
Aung Zo is a Burmese exile, an opponent of Myanmar's military-led government, and editor of a monthly magazine focusing on Burmese affairs.
Inside their minds, they know that she's hugely popular and she's a political force which has so many supporters. That's why I think they are scared to release her. You know, if you release her now, I'm sure hundreds of thousands of people will turn up and go and greet her.
And that, Aung Zo says, is exactly what the military is afraid of, since it might prove the catalyst for a popular uprising that could threaten the general's absolute grip on power. A military government accused of widespread human rights abuses against opposition activists and ethnic minorities. The government's abuses and excesses led the U.S. and some other nations to impose economic sanctions against Myanmar a decade ago. But those sanctions, many argue, have failed.
If the desired effect was to try to change the behavior of the military junta, it has not done so.
Titinan Pongsudhirak heads the Institute of Security and International Studies at Bangkok's Chulalongkorn University.
The junta is more entrenched than before, more powerful, more resourceful, and the sanctions have hurt people, have hurt the Burmese people. So this does not mean that we should go headlong into trading and investing in Myanmar, but I think the sanctions have to be reconsidered.
Titinan says sanctions have failed largely because regional powers such as China and India aren't on board and have continued to do business with the State Peace and Development Council, as the government is officially known, eager to exploit Myanmar's natural resources.
China and India are now pursuing warm relations with Myanmar. The SPDC also plays its energy and mining resources very well. Lots of countries and lots of companies from Singapore as well as Thai and other countries, even from Central Asia, are knocking on the door. So SPDC, I'm afraid, is winning the game.
In January, for example, China and Russia vetoed a U.S.-sponsored resolution at the United Nations, calling on Myanmar to end its repression of political opponents and ethnic minorities. Irrawaddy editor Aung Zo says Myanmar's military leadership interpreted that veto as a green light to crack down on dissent even more. Aung Zo is afraid the regime may now conclude it has enough friends to do as it pleases, and he's worried the generals may decide to keep Aung San Suu Kyi in detention indefinitely and simply wait for her to die. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Hanoi.